Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And God willing, we will wrap up Perek Yud Ches, chapter 18, today. We are up to specifically Pasuk Yud Aleph, chapter 18, sentence 11, and we are going to see here the boundaries of Binyamin. And that's going to take us to the end of the parak, the end of the chapter. So their land is sort of rectangle-ish, but the boundaries are not straight lines. They're curvy. They weave a little bit. North of them is Ephraim. South of them is Yehuda. Right? We've already seen both of those. So Yehuda, we know, dominates the south, running up to the area of Yerushalayim. We've talked about whether Yerushalayim is in Yehuda or not. We'll come back to that again today. And then north of Binyamin is going to be Ephraim. On the east side, Binyamin hits the Yarden, the Jordan River. On the western side, they do not go all the way to the Mediterranean. They actually run into the land of Dun. One note, by the way, because somebody asked me about this. I mentioned it the first time I gave you that map of the different tribes, the colorful one. I don't agree with all elements that are on it. I think there are certain issues with it. This person had asked me about the western end of Yehuda and Dun seeming to stop short of the land of the Plishtim, of the Philistines in Aza. But I think that the map there is confusing things. The land was definitely given to Yehuda and Dun. Remember, we talked about the western end of Yehuda running all the way to Wadi El Arish, which is Egypt. However, that map seems to be based on what they actually controlled. And we know that Yehuda and Dun did not drive out the Plishtim. So that's why that land is just presented there as not being land of the Jews. I think it's reflecting the land that they actually controlled. So Binyamin, this is the portion of Binyamin, Yehuda to their south, Ephraim to their north, the Yarden to their east, and Dun to their west. One thing to keep in mind, in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, when Moshe gives his bracha to Binyamin, we've talked about how the bracha anticipates elements of the division of the land. So the description there includes saying, Chofef alav kol hayom uvein ksefav shachein. It's Devarim chapter 33, sentence 12, that Hashem will hover above Binyamin all day, and bank seifav, between the shoulders of Binyamin, Shachein Hashem will dwell. So the Gemara in Zvachim is a classic on that. I think I may have referenced it at one point. It says that David originally wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash on the highest point in the area, called Ein Itim. But bank seifav Shachein, the Pasuk says that Hashem will be between his shoulders, so that means between the peaks. He shouldn't be quite at the highest point in that area. There's a whole discussion there in Zvachim Nundal and Amud Beis about being the highest point topographically, and that's the Gemara there. You could also read Bank Seifav Shachein, I think, as saying that Binyamin is between the shoulders. Not that Hashem is between the shoulders, but rather Binyamin is between the shoulders and even between the shoulders of Hashem. Why would I say that? Because the Beis HaMikdash is in the southern area of Binyamin, on its southern border with Yehuda. And we're going to see that Shiloh is actually the northern border of Binyamin with Ephraim. So it is Binyamin is between the shoulders of Hashem. I wonder about that. And then I've seen another idea, which I think I saw in Professor Keel in the Dot Mikra. I'm not 100% sure where I saw it, who says actually the pshat read of Bank Seifav Shachein is that Binyamin lives between the mountains, between the shoulders, I should say, and it means the five hillsides that are mentioned when describing the area of Binyamin. So it's Binyamin lives between the shoulders. In any case, the psukim here give us the northern border of Binyamin running from east to west. It's interesting that it starts at the northern border. We keep going from south to north as we describe things. Professor Kiel in the Dat Mikra suggests that the reason why it does that is because it wants to highlight the proximity of Binyamin to the children of his brother Yosef, who are north of him, Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, could be. I'm not going to go through all of the different sites, the different cities that are mentioned. The only thing I will mention, I guess, is that on the northern border of Binyamin, in northwest Binyamin, we mentioned a city called Beit Horon or Beit Horon Tachton. We actually saw that city when the Jews fought the war to defend Givon. There was a place where Hashem hailed stones down against the Canaanites. So that is in Beit Horon. And then in Shlomo's day, in Malachim Aleph, Perek Tes, chapter 9, Shlomo will build up Beit Horon. So this is a place of some historical significance for us. That's in the northwest area of Binyamin. Also, when the border turns southward to the southwest end of Binyamin, where they border Yehuda, we mention a place called Kiryat Ya'arim. So the Aron, the ark containing the tablets, is going to be taken by the Philistines in war in the beginning of the book of Shoftim. The Philistines have problems, they suffer terribly, and they end up returning the Aron, and it stays in this place of Kiryat Ya'arim until David HaMelech brings it to Yerushalayim. Okay. And then the Gemara in Zvachim Kufir Ches Lamed Beis comments on this border that Shiloh is on, that border of Binyamin and Ephraim, Binyamin's northern border, and suggests that that it's shared between Binyamin and Ephraim, much as we talk about Yerushalayim being shared between Yehuda and Binyamin. Okay, fine. So that's the northern border of Ephraim. Just picking out some highlights there. Their western border, we already said, borders Dan. Interestingly, Professor Kiel in the Dat Mikra points out that if you were to look at Divrei Hayamim Aleph, chapter 8, you would see that at a certain point, Binyamin seems to expand west into areas associated with Dan, because they go towards the Mediterranean and they go to war against Gath, which is one of the Philistine cities. So Binyamin seems to extend west into Dan. The reason why it's particularly interesting is because Dan is actually going to try to get more land in the north. That's not going to happen in Yehoshua. That happens in Sefer Shoftim. Worth knowing. Okay. Then we get the boundary of Binyamin in the south, and that's the land that they share with Yehuda. The border there is presented west to east, going from the area towards Dan in the Mediterranean, east towards the Yarden. Again, another interesting place it mentions is Ein Rogel. Ein Rogel is the place where Adoniyahu holds his big campaign party in the beginning of the book of Malachim. While his father, David HaMelech, is ill and potentially dying, he's trying to garner popular support to head off the possibility that the throne will go to Shlomo HaMelech. Finally, when we look at the southern border of Binyamin, where Binyamin borders Yehuda, so we see a lot of places that are listed that are identified with Yerushalayim, and we've talked about this, the lack of clarity as to whether Yerushalayim is in Yehuda or is in fact in Binyamin. I'm not going to belabor that. We've already talked about it, but it's really very unclear. I will note one passage from Josephus in Antiquities of the Jews, Book 5. He writes the following based on the translation that I'm using here, and I didn't make a note in my notes of which translation this was. I imagine it's the one I was able to cut and paste online. As to the Benjamites, their lot fell so that its length reached from the river Jordan to the sea, but in breadth it was bounded by Jerusalem and Beth-El, right? This we know, Jerusalem in the south, Beth-El in the north. This lot was the narrowest of all, meaning north-south, by reason of the goodness of the land. The reason why they get such a narrow area is because their land is really good, for it included Jericho and the city of Jerusalem. So it's not just fertility of the land, but it's also that it has these prominent places. This was a lot of geography, which I imagine was not so simple for people to follow. I hope that it was okay. I will note just one thing that's not geography, just to end on a bit of a different note. Binyamin is identified as Yedid Hashem in the Torah, right? The Moshe's bracha, he calls him Yedid Hashem, the beloved of God. I find that fascinating. What do we know about Binyamin that might make us consider him the beloved of God? So Binyamin himself is a beloved person, right? He is the youngest of Yaakov's kids. He is the son of Rachel when she is dying. He is the beloved of Yosef, right? Elokim Yochnecha Bini. Yosef has a special love for Binyamin displayed when he demands that Binyamin be brought down to Egypt and so on in that story. Binyamin has great descendants. Shaul HaMelech is from Binyamin. Mordechai is from Binyamin. The Gemara in Sota, Lamed Vav Amid Beis, to Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, actually talks about the possibility, based on Tehillim, that Binyamin went into the sea first. Even though we talk about Nachshon ben Aminadav leading the Jews into the Yamsuf and the Yamsuf splits, the Gemara there talks about the possibility that Binyamin actually went into the sea first. It's a very interesting Gemara. So maybe that's what makes them beloved? I don't know. One of the reasons why I'm caught by this description of Binyamin as the beloved of Hashem is that Binyamin becomes a problem tribe. In the end of Sefer Shoftim, this story, the horrific story of Pilegesh Begiva, centers on misdeeds by the tribe of Binyamin. So it's just very interesting to think of Binyamin described as the beloved of Hashem and what exactly that could have meant. So God willing, on Sunday, we will pick up with Perek Yutes, chapter 19, in which we're going to wrap up all of the rest of the land that has yet to be divided. So we're going to see the cities that go to Shimon, we're going to see Zebulun and Yisachar, we're going to see Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. It's going to conclude by giving us Yehoshua's portion. Where is he getting land? And then after that, chapter 20, we move into the division of the land in terms of the Ari Miklat, the cities of refuge. Have a good Shabbos.